Let's look at what happens right now in New York State. Which low-level crimes get bail most often, and how would the governor's proposal change that?
Well, I don't have all the data. I just want to be very clear. But misdemeanor cases certainly get bail, and those are a variety of offenses that can range from turnstile jumping, like we have here in New York City, to third-degree assault. That's the most common misdemeanor. Felonies can get bail. Those are certainly more serious offenses, nonviolent felonies, they're called. Upstate, bail is set on 33% of misdemeanor cases. In New York City, however, it's on 14% of misdemeanors. So there's a big difference. It seems to be used more often upstate than downstate here in New York City.
Generally speaking, how much discretion do judges currently have when it comes to bail decisions, and how would that change under Cuomo's proposal?
Well, on paper, they have a lot of discretion. The bail statutes that New York enacted almost 50 years ago look progressive, according to many people, because they give judges options that they just frequently don't use in practice. They could, for example, require that a person use their car as collateral or something like that to ensure they'll keep coming back to court. Because remember, Beth, bail in New York is based on whether a person poses a risk of flight. It's a mechanism to ensure they come back to court. It has nothing to do with danger like it does in most other states. So what happens in practice, however, is instead of looking at the person's financial circumstances, considering whether they can, you know, put down their car as collateral, what the judges almost always do, what the prosecutors almost always request, is bail, cash or bond. And that becomes very onerous for people, especially poor defendants who can't even afford a $1,000 or $2,000 bail because they don't have it. And then they go to jail, and it may be a night or a week or years, like it was for Khalif Browder, the young man who couldn't afford to make his $10,000 bail and committed suicide after he was eventually released. So that's why there's this whole conversation of how punitive it is.
And that's the argument Governor Cuomo and a lot of bail reform advocates certainly are making. I know you talked to DAs and public defenders about the governor's plan. What are they saying? Do they have reservations and concerns about it?
Yeah. There's different degrees and levels of concern. First, let's start with your upstate district attorneys. District Attorneys Association for New York, which is headed by Scott McNamara of Oneida County, they're very upset with this because they don't like doing away with cash bail and then providing only these types of supervised release for a whole swath of defendants accused of misdemeanors and nonviolent felonies. And their issue is that, unlike New York City, where we have supervised release, although in a very limited form, for people to check in with the courts while they're awaiting their trials, what McNamara told me is that there are often cases of people who come to towns and cities upstate from other places, like New York City, he mentioned, that commit a crime, selling drugs or some break-in or a violent offense, and then they would have to be supervised if bail is no longer an option. But if they're not from that community, how do you supervise them? He says it's going to be very expensive for those upstate towns.
There is a lot to consider. It's a pretty complex situation. And as we're having this conversation, it looks like bail reform might be off the table in terms of state budget negotiations. But do your sources tell you that this issue is still going to live beyond April 1st?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's been a lot of momentum nationally and in New York for some time to do something about this because of the concerns that the poor are penalized. It's been in the air for years now, especially since the Khalif Browder suicide case. And so they are pushing. They were lobbying last week, the public defenders especially, who, for them, they're mostly on board with a lot of what's in the governor's package, but their concern has to do with this carve-out of would prosecutors and judges potentially abuse this ability to jail a person for 5 days and then consider whether they should stay in jail before their trial. They worry that that denies the presumption of innocence, that that 5 days could be really dreadful for somebody who's missing work, missing their family. It's going to damage them in the long run. They might be amenable to like a 2-day jail period. On the other hand, what it does is it, instead of right now, when a judge remands somebody, jails them at their arraignment, it happens right away. They can appeal it, of course, but this 5-day period followed by a hearing to determine if they should stay in jail is supposed to balance all of that. But again, it's theoretical. We don't know how it's going to work out. And what they really don't like is that it applies to certain categories that can be vague. Domestic violence is one, but also if you are charged with a serious crime, what is that? If you're doing witness intimidation, what is that? Is that going to be too broad a definition? And then they really hate that it would also be an option for somebody who's charged with a crime, is let out on supervision because there's no bail anymore, but then if they commit another offense, even if it's a misdemeanor, they can be sent to jail for 5 days if a prosecutor wants it. So they feel like this is subjecting a whole bunch of people who now have the option of bail to jail for 5 days. They have concerns about that. The Civil Liberties Group does too. Judges, however, think, look, we're going to be reasonable people. And, you know, that's interesting, especially when you talk about domestic violence. I interviewed Judge Judy Harris Kluger, former judge who did domestic violence court here in New York City and Queens. She runs the group. She's executive director of the group Sanctuary for Families, which represents victims of domestic violence. And she said to me that the 5-day thing, that's nice as an option. It could be used as a cooling off period when people's tempers are really heated. But mostly she thinks that if she were on the bench now and she had the option of releasing people with supervision who are accused of domestic violence, an option that doesn't exist even in New York City that has supervised release. It doesn't exist for people accused of domestic violence. She said, I would use that. I would want to see that there's strong monitoring of the person, that they check in regularly, that there's a way to protect the alleged victims. You know, she really thinks supervised release could be a great option for a whole bunch of people now who, according to our data, are frequently set bail that they may not be able to afford, especially when it's a nonviolent felony that's domestic abuse related. They may have bail set 60, 70, 80% of the time. These people could now potentially have a form of supervised release.
That's Beth Fertig, courts and legal affairs reporter at WNYC in New York, following the bail reform proposal of Governor Cuomo. That's all the talk in Albany right now. Beth, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. And if I can, I would just like to put in a plug for the Marshall Project.
Sure.
They obtained a lot of the data that we analyzed from the Office of Court Administration. And so it was very kind of them to share it with us. And then the WNYC Data News team analyzed it. So go to our website, wnyc.org, and you can see all of our coverage.